Hello, this is Ken Barron from the National Association of Black and White Men Together. Today's podcast is on immigration.
Mama gave birth to a beautiful girl, wanted her to have it all, protect her from the world. So she would stand tall, but Mama didn't think she could give enough. So they packed their bags and left for America.
That's part of a song from Maggie Hopkins, and she is immigrant rights person who wrote this song, which is called New Life Anthem. That's part of it. Anyway, today I want to look at the history and what the current issues are on the U.S. immigration. And we'll break this down into two parts. And both of the two parts are available to follow in the podcast notes. And it's a series of PowerPoint slides. The sources of this is from Immigrant America book by Portes M. Rumbaugh. Recommend you get this on Amazon or wherever, your local bookstore. It's a great, great book that covers kaleidoscopically the incredible story of the U.S. immigration. I want to talk, first of all, about the myths of immigration. And there's quite a few slides on that. And this will be the first part of this podcast. So let's talk about five types of things that have happened in our history in terms of door being open and closed. That's really the point we're trying to do on this podcast. And on later podcasts on this issue, we'll talk about impending important legislation and court cases. But for now, let's say you're in Sunday brunch, as gay folks like to do, and somebody says, well, there are problems with immigration. These are the myths that you can dispel. First of all, there's always a myth that says immigrants don't pay taxes. Well, that's not true. They pay income tax, property tax, and sales tax at the federal and state level. Minimum the sales tax. They can't get around that. So research has shown that this will correspond to about 90 to 140 billion a year in these income taxes. Now, of course, undocumented immigrants pay income taxes. People don't realize that. And that's because taxes that are collected don't match to Social Security. Excuse me. And that's estimated between $20 billion and $50 billion between 1990 and 1998. So that's the first idea that broadcast throughout the nation. And it's wrong. And likewise, you've heard of people saying, well, we don't want more immigration because they come here to take welfare. Here's the response to that. So the ratio, immigrants using public benefit to taxes paid, is consistently favorable to the U.S. Treasury Department and revenue. So therefore, immigrants earn about $240 billion a year, and they pay $90 billion a year in taxes, and they use about only $5 billion in public benefit. So again, that's something you need to be aware of. And next, what about job stealers and economic drainers? Well, an often talked about problem, which it isn't, are immigrants take jobs and opportunity away from Americans. It turns out the largest immigration to the U.S. coincided with our lowest national unemployment rate, total unemployment rate, and also the fastest economic growth. Immigrants are not a drain on the U.S. Economy. On the other hand, 60% of immigrants arrived who were in prime working age. Let me repeat that, prime working age. That means we have enough people that can satisfy the demand in our U.S. economy. Now, this is unlike some other economies, for example, in Europe, where the average age is increasing and there aren't as many young folks to support the old folks. And that's one of the reasons why, for example, Germany recently opened up their gate for asylum migrants from the Middle East because they needed the workforce. Now, in the U.S., we haven't spent a penny on the people that come of prime working age. So they'll not really be a drain on the economy that way. Of course, they will contribute estimated $500 billion towards our social security system over the next 20 years. So if you're getting on in years, be thankful that these folks can help us in that department. And we now come to looking at English. And as you can imagine, on many people that come here have different languages. Well, and they should assimilate, some people say. Well, they do. So for immigrants, they mostly want to learn English and become Americans. So more than 75% of immigrants, after 10 years, speak English very well and are able to communicate very well. And then if you say, well, today's immigrants are all different than those of 100 years ago, well, that's not true. In terms of the number of immigrants, at least, the percentage of the U.S. population that is foreign-born now stands at 11.5%. And in the early 20th century, it was at 15%. Next. Supposing you're told, well, immigrants export money. Yeah, that's a tricky one. Many people say the immigrants send money back to the home countries. Well, they do. But in addition to that, they have consumer spending, and that's for immigrants and their businesses, which contribute $162 billion in tax revenue. Immigrants remit billions of dollars a year to their home. And this is one of the most targeted and effective forms of direct foreign investments. That is, they've earned money and paid taxes on here, but used it for foreign investment, as opposed to a direct grant from the Foreign Office or other departments. How about the myth of borders? Well, we hear lots of people in, especially the Republican Party, saying, well, borders and immigrants are a problem. Because most immigrants cross the border illegally? No. 75% of today's immigrants have legal permanent visas. And of that, the 25% are undocumented. 40% overstay their temporary non-immigrant visas. Likewise, there's a myth that weak U.S. border enforcement has led to high undocumented immigration. True. 1986 to 1998, the Border Patrol's budget is up sixfold and the number of agents doubled to 8,500. Also, border toughened enforcement strategy and heavy fortified typical urban entry point really are part of the system now of a huge amount of money going in that. Lots of people want to do more. But it's the overstayed visas that perhaps should be addressed a little bit more rigorously. Next, terror. Ah, yes, terror and immigration. So when you're thinking of the Patriot Act and the likewise, you say, well, the war on terrorism can be won through immigration restrictions. However, no security expert since 9/11 has said that the restrictive immigration measures would have prevented the terrorists. And on the other hand, most of the 9/11 hijackers were here on legal visas. So that's a bunch of myths that hopefully we can help you address, think about, and broadcast to your friends and family in case they are pretty much anti-immigration. Remember, here at the NA, BWMT, we're against racism, which is what immigration is. We're against homophobia. Many of these things, immigrants are LGBT. But most of all, we're against falsities that rely on soundbite and myth. I hope I help you there. Stay tuned, or tune in, I should say, for the next podcast on this. And our overview of that would be, we're going to look at the history and break down in a lot of details the societal impacts of immigration, both legal and illegal. If you're a member of the minority, or if you're a recent immigrant who's been fortunate to work in the community, live and love in this community, you'll find this very, very interesting, because we'll look at assimilation, we're going to look at economics, we're going to look at bilingualism, and we're going to look at multiculturalism, and finally, in national security. Thank you for tuning in. This is Ken Barron. If you want to hear other podcasts, the sequel to this, or just learn about the National Association and Black and White Men Together, please visit nabwmt.org. We're on Facebook and Twitter. And thank you. We appreciate you tuning in.